An auction in New York tonight will offer up more than $20 million worth of paintings. And this is the deal in which the Japanese businessman who collected these paintings forced the auction houses bidding for the right for the sale, these are Christie's and Sotheby's, forced them to compete for the deal by playing rock, paper, scissors. And PR's J.J. Sutherland looked into whether the game could help solve bigger problems.
Rock, paper, scissors, or as those in the know call it, RPS. Not the usual way things are done in the business-like world of high-priced art, but Christopher Aiken, the International Director of Impressionist and Modern Art at Christie's, rolled up his sleeves and, like the professional art appraiser he is, began to research the problem.
Needless to say, the internet came in pretty handy. It's not a game any of us have played here for more years than we care to remember. Also, my colleague, Nicholas McLean, has two twin girls who also happen to be experts in this game from their playground, and we consulted with them.
What Aiken learned, he learned well. That's according to Jason Simmons, who prefers to be known as Master Rochambola. He is the self-described best player in professional RPS competition, though he is now retired. Yes, that does mean there is a professional rock, paper, scissors circuit out there. He watched the Christie-Sotheby's match with avid interest.
Analyzing the match, I considered it personally very unlikely that either competitor would open with rock. Rock is a very pedestrian throw. Also, rock is raw. It's nature untamed. And art is all about artifice. So you can judge off the top of the bat that no rock was going to be thrown in this match. Therefore, since the throws are either going to be scissors or paper, scissors becomes a very strong defensive throw.
That's similar to what Christie's Mr. Aiken actually used.
Apparently, the one that most type A personalities would choose is rock. If they're going to assume we're going to go with rock, that means they go with paper. So what's left for us but scissors? So if you like, it's a bit of a double bluff.
And their double bluff worked. Christie's scissors beat Sotheby's paper, and they walked away with the prize. If RPS is used by the high-powered world of auction houses and women with oversized hats raising numbered paddles, isn't it just a short leap to something greater? What about when applied to some of the world's worst problems, such as North Korea's nuclear weapons program? Ridiculous, maybe, but what about the situations that Jack Prichard, the former U.S. Special Envoy to North Korea, faced at the negotiating table?
Some of the first meetings that I ever had was an 11-hour session, and I thought, this is going to go on forever. And really, you think, are we making any progress here, and do I have to come back tomorrow?
Did Ambassador Prichard ever even consider using RPS as a negotiating tool?
It's interesting. I don't think we actually have. I don't know if you can, change that to, missiles, chemical weapons, or whatnot, but I don't think we ever really did.
While the ambassador's mind is usually applied to saving millions of lives endangered by nuclear weapons, I did ask him to apply himself to one game of RPS. And he agreed.
One, two, three.
We both throw paper.
One,
paper.
Two, three.
Paper.
One,
I switch
two,
to rock,
three.
And I'm beaten.
All right. There we go.
But why?
I was going to stick with it because I figured that you would eventually go to rock, the thinking that I was going to switch over to scissors. So perseverance was my tactic there.
That's perhaps a better one for resolving world crises. But maybe if I'd opened with scissors. J.J. Sutherland, NPR News.
Day to Day is a production of NPR News and Slate.com. I'm Alex Chadwick.